gospel lesson today comes from Mark 4, verses 26 through 34. Then Jesus said, This is what God's kingdom looks like. It is though someone scatters seed on the ground, then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it's harvest time. He continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But when it is planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that the birds of the sky are able to nest in its shade." With many such parables, he continued to give them the word as they were able to hear. He spoke to them only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when he was alone with them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This morning, I am wearing my mustard seed necklace. I gave these necklaces to a group of female confirmands very early in my ministry. And I gave them with the specific purpose of reminding them that there were going to be days when their faith was very small, but that God's promise was that God could take even the smallest little bit of our faith, bless it, and make it multiply, and make it become something beautiful. I confess I have worn this necklace, maybe even more than those confirmands that I gave it to, on days when life felt overwhelming, on days when I had more questions than answers, to remind myself that God says just a little bit of faith can go a long way, that God can bless our faith and make it something beautiful. Jesus talked about that in this parable. In fact, he used lots of agricultural references and parables to speak to the people that he was in ministry with as he taught. As he taught in this agrarian culture, he used things that were familiar. And for everyone standing there hearing this message, they would have understood this tiny little mustard seed. And they would have understood the potential that it held. It looked tiny and dead, but when it was planted and given water and sunlight, it grew into a bush the size of a small house. And it gave shelter to birds and animals. This small little seed that was rather unimpressive became a place of life and shelter. This seed, when nurtured, becomes something unexpectedly spectacular. You see, this seed is scruffy and dull and lifeless. It's just a little ball, and if you didn't know what you were looking at, you would probably think it's a speck of dirt. Which reminds me a little bit of the people that Jesus talked to the most. Those scruffy people. Those people kind of on the outskirts of what normal society looked like. The tax collector, the woman at the well that had five husbands but was with the one that wasn't her husband. The lepers, the least, the last, and the lost. It was a scruffy bunch, but those are the people that Jesus reached out to. Those are the people that Jesus put his energy into, and those were the people that the kingdom of God was revealed through. We get dressed up. We look pretty good this morning, don't we? We got up, we put on our clothes, we came to worship, we want to present our very best to God, we put our smiles on, and we sit in this place, and we look pretty good. But guess what? We're a scruffy bunch. When we begin to pull back the layers of our outside polishedness, we can see that we're a little scruffy too. We're a little rough around the edges. Though we try to hide that, we truly are a scruffy bunch that God has called. You see, God uses that scruffiness. That's where God starts. God starts in our scruffiness and begins a good work in us. Just as the seed, when given the nurture it needs, becomes alive, fruitful, beautiful, and vibrant, so it is with us. That when we encounter God and accept God's grace in our life, that we begin to grow and experience joy and peace in our lives. A life that once was out without hope becomes filled with hope. And when we do that, when we allow God's grace to do that in us, something beautiful begins to happen. Not only are we filled with hope, but we begin to ooze that out in the world. We begin to be a place that nurtures, that gives hope and peace and blessing. People who become hope in the world, who shine mercy and who seek justice, who become like the mustard bush, a place of shelter and refuge. Pope Francis has a beautiful quote about this type of mercy grown out of the grace of God. It says, God's mercy can make even the driest land become a garden, can restore life to dry bones. Let us be renewed by God's mercy. Let us be loved by Jesus. Let us enable the power of His love to transform our lives too. And let us become agents of mercy, channels through which God can water the earth, protect all creation, and make justice and peace flourish. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the bush represents. It's about protection and peace and grace and mercy and shelter in the middle of a hard world. When I think about this parable of the mustard seed, my mind begins to just think about big things that God has blessed, how God takes something small and blesses it and makes something big. And as I was preparing this sermon, I kept trying to figure out what that looked like for us, what was a practical example. And my mind kept going back to what happened at Opportunity House with Narrowgate, and how there were a group of faithful Methodists sitting in a room studying the Bible at Midway, and they began to have this idea that God planted and watered and multiplied, and it became something amazing that happens every week, both in Concord and Kannapolis. And I thought about what a big, beautiful story that was and how God took something little and made it big. And then I thought, but I'm not going to do that because that lets us off the hook. Right? I mean, I like those stories because then I think, well, God's doing this big thing and God watered it and God took care of it. And so as long as I don't really have to do much to encounter that type of big thing, God's going to bring it to me and so I can just carry on. It puts it out of my scope of responsibility. But I really believe that acts of mercy and acts of justice actually happen on a much smaller scale for most of us. That this compilation of small acts creates mercy in the world that is abundant and big and powerful. And if we only focus on these big acts of things that happen occasionally, we miss out on our responsibility to be called agents of mercy and grace in every moment of our life. You see, I believe that is where the transformational part comes in, that we live out mercy, we live out justice, we live out love because God has given that to us. So what does that look like for us? If it's not some big, giant thing we create to help others, what does it look like? Perhaps it's the way we interact with each person we meet. Perhaps it is looking at someone and finding their value as made in the image of God every time we see someone new, giving value to that person. Perhaps it's speaking out about injustice we see in the world, even when it is uncomfortable. Maybe it looks like us saying what's happening on our southern border with families being separated from their children is not okay, no matter which side of the political aisle you come from. Maybe it's putting ourselves in a place that doesn't feel comfortable, but it's the right thing to do. to use our voices, to use our influence, to use our every moment to worship and glorify God, to meet people where they are and love them. Perhaps that's what mercy and justice looks like, a continual life of love, a continual life where we are seeking to represent Christ in the world, a steady presence of making choices every moment to be love, peace, justice, and mercy in our world. When it's easy and when it's hard, when everybody is cheering you on, when people are standing in your way. I believe that those are the moments that the kingdom of God is revealed. And I believe when we live like that, we are becoming this big, beautiful place of rest in a hard and difficult world. That we are growing into what God is calling us to be, nurturing us to be in this world. We're growing. I love to watch things grow. I really wish I could say I had a green thumb, but I don't. When I buy a plant in the store, I read the tag and look for the word hardy. I understand the logistics of plant growth. I could diagram out what it looks like for a seed to grow in the ground, thanks to some really great science teachers, but I don't really understand how fast it grows or why it grows. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. But just because I don't understand it, doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Jesus talks about how we don't have to understand what's happening in these plants to understand that something amazing is actually happening. I love to watch people grow. One of the wonderful blessings of being a pastor, the thing that delights my heart the most is watching people grow in their spiritual life. Sometimes there are huge growth spurts that we go through. Sometimes we kind of stall out. I don't understand that. I don't really understand how God helps us to grow, yet I know it is through God's grace that we do grow. Our growth for me is a holy mystery, a product of grace. Suzanne talked a lot about grace last week, how it is an unmerited gift of God that we are allowed to absorb, that calls us forward in life, that allows God to bless us, to nurture our spirits, to take our scruffiness, to file off our edges, to give us what we need so that we can grow and bless others so that we can become part of God's holy mystery. This thing, this grace, is something God bestows upon us. It is the way that He takes us from a scruffy little seed to something in the world that provides a place of love, that provides a place of hope, that provides a place of mercy and justice. I tell you that in this crazy world that we live in, I want to be around people that are a sanctuary of hope, that exude hope and love and mercy, because I am telling you, I am bombarded daily by things that are hard to understand. I picked up my phone between worship services and there's been another shooting. And I don't know what to do with that. My mind just goes crazy to think about another time, another one. How many more times, Lord? That's what my heart cries out. And I say, I want us to be places of refuge. I want the church to be a place of refuge. I desperately want the church of Jesus Christ to make a difference in this world. And here's the thing. We can do it. God's got us. Okay? God's blessing us. God's giving us grace. God's empowering us. God's nurturing our little tiny faith. And God is making us a place of refuge if we want it. I want it. Do y'all want that? Do you want to be part of that? It's a choice. It's a choice we make. You don't have to be part of that, but you can be. And by golly, I want to be. Like, I want that so deeply down in my heart. I want to be a place of love and justice and mercy in this world. I want to be a big old mustard bush saying, hey, y'all, come over here. Come sit in this shade. Get some hope. Get some love. Get some mercy, because we're going to change the world. That's what the church is called to be, and we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not showing up. We're not. Not just us here. We're just not showing up. We don't think we can do it anymore. We say, I'm just little old me. Who's going to listen to Mandy? That's what we say. We discount ourselves. We quiet our voices. It's time to find our voice. It's time to be shelter and love and mercy, because I'm telling you, we're living in a hot world where a lot of people are wanting some shade. God loves us. God calls us. God empowers us, but we choose. You can be a little old mustard seed. God will love you. God will bless you. But when you ask God to nurture your heart, to infuse you with grace, to build you up, to make you something that is beautiful in the world, to bring about the kingdom of God in you, it will look different. It will be different. And if enough of us do that, the church will be different and the world will be different. It's truly what I want. I want us to be a big old grove of bushes welcoming people in, saying, I know that the world is hard, but I serve a God who overcomes. I want us to be more than little seeds. I want us to be places of love and mercy and refuge. We can allow God to do that. We can allow God to make that happen in our hearts, and we can live that out in every moment of our life. For it's through the scruffiest people that the kingdom of God is revealed and thrives. And guess what, people? We're pretty scruffy. And God loves us. Amen.